We'll talk about that now. Good morning, Rosh Chodesh Adar. Chodesh Tov to everyone. Truma Tavshin Ayin Tes. Mish Nechles Adar Mabrim B'Simcha. So Mabrim B'Simcha, Jules, you said it correct. Ein Simcha Ella Torah. One of the ways that we increase our Simcha in this month, this year, is called an Ibur Shana. It's a pregnant, right? Year, it's pregnant with Simcha. There's double the amount of Simcha this year than any other year, right? This is why it makes a leap year unique. And one of the ways that we increase our Simcha is through learning Torah. And learning Torah should give us that perspective, should give us that connection and that engagement that Be'ezrat Hashem we should have through our learning. And our learning should always be sweet, especially during the month of Adar. Our learning today is sponsored by Joan Sprung. She gets a mazel tov also. She had a bar mitzvah this past Shabbos, and at the bar mitzvah, but in Eretz Yisrael, her son also had a child. So, celebrating the bar mitzvah of a grandson and the birth of a grandson in the same day.
The other family.
So, sponsored by Joan Sprung, here with your site of her father, Schneier Ben Pesach, Mr. Sidney Phillips. Our learning today should serve as Eloi for his neshama, Big on Eden Shel Mala. So I would like to learn with you today about a very mysterious animal, mysterious creature in the Torah. So in Parshas Truma, we're given the commandment to build the Mishkan. First, it was the fastest building campaign ever in Jewish history, right? The Mishkan, according to Rashi. Okay, this is important for us. And Yonah Dioma for Shomrei Torah. So, what happened? According to Rashi, we sin with the golden calf. Moshe pleads for forgiveness. We get the second luchos. And then we have a Mishkan building project. Right? When did the Mishkan building project start? The day after Yom Kippur. Yud Aleph. Already, less than 5 days later, a Basco comes up from Shemayim and says, Moshe, you've collected enough money. We have enough gold, we have enough silver, copper, linen, precious jewels. We've collected enough. And that's why, what holiday do we get right after Yom Kippur?
Hanukkah.
Sukkot.
The calendar expert.
So when it comes to why is that? So the way the Vilna Gaon explains it is this showed how much they really longed for this connection and relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, that their tshuva was real, and that was through the wanting of this relationship again, and that brought back the Anane HaKavod on the 15th of Tishrei. And from there, we get the mitzvah, or the holiday of Sukkot, which celebrates the clouds of glory, the Ananei HaKavod. So let's learn, and we'll learn about this mysterious creature through the Pesukim in the Parsha. So let's begin here, source 1. V'yidaber Hashem Moshe lemer darav b'nei Yisrael v'yichu li truma meis kol ish asher yadvenu libo kichu es truma si. Hashem tells Moshe, speak to the Jewish people, take for me truma. It really should be not take for me truma. The Torah should have said, give to me truma. What is take for me? So some answer this by saying that whenever we're giving, we are really taking. We benefit more as the giver, and we become, in a way, the recipient. The more we do for others, the more we give to others, and give to important edifices, organizations, etc., we become the beneficiaries of this. That's why the Torah says, V'yichu li truma, and not V'yitznu li truma. V'zos ha-truma asher tichu me'itam. And now Moshe lists what he needs from the Jewish people. Number one, Zahav v'chesef v'nechoshes. Gold, silver, and copper. Then, Tcheles, Orgaman, Tolat Shani, V'shesh v'izim. Tcheles, he needs different types of, colors. He needs turquoise, according to Rashi, according to Art Scroll, purple, scarlet wool, linen, and goat hair. That's Sheish V'zim. V'oros Elim Adamim. and then he needs the skins of red-dyed ram skins, the oros tichashim, the skin of tichashim, of a tachash. What's a tachash? An isle is a ram. Yizim are goats. Atzei shitim are trees. Shitim, wood. Now, then the Torah is going to continue on. What's a tachash? We don't know. That's what we're going to talk about today. We don't know what a tachash is. Rashi tells us, what is a tachash? Min chaya. It was a type of wild animal. Velo haisa ela lashana, or lasha'a. It only was around for a certain point in our history. The harbe givanim hayula, it had many different, either it means multiple backs, humps, givanim, or it had many different colors. The kach mitargem sazgona. That's why Unculus translates the word tachash to mean sazgona. Sazgona means many colors. Shesas umispa'er begivanim shala. It is proud and rejoices over the fact that it has so many different colors. So it's a multicolored animal. And the Bamidbar Rabbah adds to this. Says Reish Lakish in the name of Rabbi Meir. Tachash haya b'mei Moshe, birya b'fnei atzma, atzmo haya. It was a creation that was only unto itself. V'lo hikiru bo chachamim shosu ador, imin chayahi, imin behema. They didn't know what type of animal this was. Chazal say it was only around during the times of the Midbar.
Is there any reason ascribed to why this particular animal was prescribed?
We're going to talk about that. Why would God need to create such an animal during this period, and what's the message of it? And we're going to see where it was placed in the Mishkan, and why is that significant for us? One second. The keren achas haisalo b'metzko. What's a keren?
Horn.
It had a horn coming out of its forehead. What does that sound like?
Unicorn. Yeah.
It sounds like what we call today the unicorn, right? Vishan yizdami lo l'moshe. He used it to make the Mishkan, and then it was hidden forever. We don't know where it is anymore. So, the questions we need to ask, I think, are what's going on here? What is this, right? Why would this need to be created? And what's the message? If the Mishkan represents the service of God, our connection with the Almighty, then what does that mean for us? What does it mean that we need this tachash? And where was the tachash placed? Where? So the psukim say, Vasisa mechsei lo'ol oros elim adamim, u'mechsei oros tachashim milamala. The pasuk says in later on in the parsha, Perikav Vav, pasuk Yedalid, that it was used to cover the Mishkan. The tachash skin, this colorful skin, was used to cover the Mishkan.
How big was the Mishkan?
What?
How big was it?
How big was it?
Yeah. And how big was the tachash?
Many tachash.
No, yeah, it was many skins woven together.
So maybe they became extinct just because of using them.
They used so many of them.
How big was the Mishkan? It must have been a big size. No, it was the size of a room.
So Rashi points out on this pasuk here. That's why I flipped to this pasuk. Rashi points out that the size of the covers were 10 by 30 amos. Okay?
Each cover.
They mean that there are two different covers of the Mishkan. So the cover of each one was 10 by 30 amos.
Which is 10 by 30. What's a foot and a half?
No.
What's
a foot and a half. Yeah. An amos is about a foot and a half.
So it's 15 by 45.
15 by 45 feet. Yeah. And there's a machlokas how it was. Some say the tachash was underneath and the ram one was on top. And others say it was one combined one together. The Mefarshim that we're going to discuss today assume that the Tachash was not viewed from the outside, it was viewed from the inside. You, when you were in the Mishkan, you looked up, you saw the covering of the Tachash, but it was covered on top with another another layer.
Was in existence for how many years?
How long was the Mishkan in existence from?
How many years?
From now until Shlomo.
Which is hundreds of years.
400 something.
Yeah. So I'm assuming that they just
more than that.
Yeah, so they didn't have this one set of a one set of the Tachash within time. They had to replace this.
Probably it could be very likely. Yes. Yeah. How do they do that? That's a good question. I'm not sure. Rashi, Moshe points out, the Medrash points out that Moshe hid them. That they were gone. They left after this time.
They just killed them all off.
Yeah, but
and they collected the skins.
But they were also
100 years.
There were also ram skins that were around for so long, and they didn't. We still have ram, we still have goats, we still have everything, all the other animals that were used.
Right.
There's one other animal that was used only l'sha'a during this time of the Beis Hamikdash, is that the stones that were used for the mizbeach could not be cut with barzel. It couldn't be cut with metal. You had to, because metal shortens a person's life, and the whole goal of the mizbeach is to lengthen a person's life through atonement. So what did we use instead? There was an animal, a worm, that was called the shamir. The shamir ate stone and was able to cut the stone to the shape and size that we needed. So that was around during these two times. But otherwise, you know, another mystical creature that was around. So what is the message? What do you think? What's the message of this multiple colored animal that was used in the Mishkan? You looked up, you saw it in the Mishkan. What was the message of this? Okay, the message. What's that message?
Riz.
Oh, so you're saying it goes back to Parshas Noach. It goes back to Parshas Noach of the rainbow. So that could be. It could be that that's maybe what the message is over here. So I'd like to. We'll learn three different approaches to what this is. Number one comes from the Shir VaHashevach. He writes like this: VaHamatara. If you look at second paragraph here in the middle. Shalishma hutzarcha briyusam hamiyuchedes shal tachashim muvaris psukim. Right, why do we need this? What's unique about this? The kasav akach api maimar ki akash baruch hu omer abal gaiva ein aniva hu yechol nadur ba'olam v'atam shekein adam yishisod me'afar mesugal lizgaus ba'olam malei b'kod Hashem v'leis atar panui minei v'adai nagua hu b'kfira. He says that one of the worst character traits that a person can attain in this world is the mida of arrogance, of gaiva. Gaiva. What is the Gemara says about a Baal Gaiva? Hashem says to him, I can't live with him in the same world. He thinks he's so great, there's no space for me, with capital M, with Kadosh Baruch Hu, in this world. So then what's the message here? The Gemara points out that a Talmud Chacham should have an eighth of Gaiva. You need to have a little bit of arrogance. What do you mean a little bit? You have to have confidence in who you are, what you do, what you bring to this world. What?
Swagger.
Oh, that's a very 2019 word, David. My students use that word all the time. Well, you need that in your avodas Hashem. We have to have. It's not just like to be stubborn. It's not. That's not what we're talking about. You need to believe
stand
what you're
your,
doing.
Stand up for your rights.
But know that what you're doing is meaningful and it counts. And then we have the ability to, with our davening, with our tefillah, to really affect the world in a very profound way. So that requires a shemet. A trace of gaiva. And he says that that's what this animal represented. Shesas umispa'er. It was proud. It was proud of its colors. It was proud of who it was. So we need to, when we walk into the Mishkan, we need to look up at the colors of the Tachash and take that, a little bit of that personality of what the Tachash had and who it was as an animal, right? And bring that into our life. We should be. In all things that we do, really, we should never look at, you know, I have to do this. I'm forced to do that. Right? If we live our life just, you know, doing things and acting in a way because other people or circumstances cause us to, then that's not really living. We need to be strong and resolute and be proud and confident in all we do, and all the more so in our service of God. And that is reflected, the Shir V'Hashevach says, by the Tachash.
Rabbi,
yes.
What would be the corresponding thing in the Beis HaMikdash that corresponds to this? Is there a corresponding, could you think of anything that was in the Beis HaMikdash that made people feel this way when they would look into the Beis HaMikdash, or just the side of the Beis HaMikdash by itself?
It was awe-inspiring.
It was just inspiring.
It was so awe-inspiring.
So you didn't need something like this in the Beis HaMikdash because it was so, just by seeing it, it gave you that inspiration
right.
That you need.
Like, why do we need such a beautiful building to daven in? Why do we need? What? Get a few chairs, put it all together, and we'll get a Torah, we'll cover with a talus, and we're fine. Isn't that what counts? Why is it that we need this beautiful edifice? We need to paint the walls. We need to make it nice and make it lahader l'shem tiferes. Why do we need to do that?
Kavod.
But it's not only kavod for, it is kavod for Kadosh Baruch Hu and for what we do. And obviously, if our houses are like that, then all the more so our shul should be like that too. But I think it's even more than that. It gives us, it impacts our davening. It impacts the way we treat our religious life. If our building, our edifices of Torah are in such a way, then we're going to treat everything that we do of that part of that life in a very meaningful and in a very meaningful way too. It impacts it. I remember the first time when YU redid their Beis Medrash. They built a brand new Beis Medrash. If you haven't been there, it's like now 10 years old. They had the old Beis Medrash. It's called the old Beis Medrash. And it was right after Madoff, and it was a very difficult financial time, and they pushed through to finish it up. And people were like, I'm like floating. And the Rosh Yeshiva and the students were saying the same thing, how exciting it was to have not just a building that we can just go into. You can make a building where you can just go into, but it was beautiful. L'shem, right? L'shem would be Feres. And it affected the learning. And I remember that first year in that building, it was a very different vibe. And I think that affects us. And that's the building of the Mishkan, and to have and to look up and to see, wow, we have this here. You know, we have the Tachash. That gives us the reminder that who we are, what we do, and to be strong and proud. And it gives us that chizuk that we need.
In regard to Mendy's question, maybe bringing an offering certainly elevates a person to feel, you know, like confidence and all that.
Right.
It also could be maybe it's the time, because this is like the first, the Beis HaMikdash was later in time. They had the Mishkan for hundreds of years. Maybe they needed something more in the beginning when they first started. Something that was, you know, that can just turn the people on a lot more. Because when you're doing something for 400 years already, it becomes, you know, you're into it. Here, they're starting from scratch. They're starting from the beginning. So you wanted something unique to really stand out.
What was pretty amazing is that everyone...
To be a centerpiece.
Yeah. What was amazing about the Mishkan is that everybody got involved in it. It wasn't like they Beis HaMikdash, they paid foreign workers to do it. Not the Mishkan. The Mishkan was purely we all got involved. We all got rolled up our sleeves, got dirty, and we got involved in building it.
Rolled up our sleeves.
What?
We rolled up our sleeves and
if we had sleeves back then, I don't know. I don't know what we had. So the second answer comes from a few different contemporary rabbanim. Ones were Ben Sion Führer in his Sefer Hagyona Shel Torah. He has many different svarim and chumash. The other is Rav Moshe Sternbach and Tam Vadas. They both point the direction of something very, very beautiful. What do they say the Tachash represents? They focus on the colors of the Tachash. And I'll present this with a beautiful vort that I once heard in the name of Moshe Weinberger. I think I actually heard this from Rabbi Yudin like 20 years ago. Like 16 years ago. I heard this from him way before I was, I made my way to Fairborn. So, if you think about it, when you're building a house and you're, considering all the different details of a house, one of the most important factors you need to think about is what your house is going to look like from the outside. What's your entranceway, your pathway into the house, right? Are you going to have a garden outside, flowers, etc.? And what's your door going to look like?
Curb appeal.
There you go. So what's the door, what's the entranceway to the Mishkan look like? Building a house for God. No? Shouldn't we care? So Moshe Weinberger said, asked this question. He says, we didn't have this. We didn't have this approach and one way to get into the Mishkan. Why not? Because every Jew entered the Mishkan in a different way. We all have, right? We all have our different ways and different drachim in Avodas Hashem. And Ramosha Sternbach says, how is this highlighted? The Oros Tech Hashem, the multiple colors of the Tachash. You look up and you say, there are so many different ways that we serve God. I serve God better. We all have to do everything. We're obligated in 6:13. But this person is more of a davening Jew. They really get into that. They need to work on other parts. This person is purely chesed, and we need every single person, but we also need to be respectful and recognize that we all come from different ways, and we all have different traits that we can highlight, and different things we really excel at, and things that we all need to work on. None of us are perfect. And he says that is the tiferes of the Jewish people. The fact that we have multiple colors, the rainbow, the spectrum of the Jewish people, right, represented by the Tachash, that within itself is the beauty of the Jewish people. To live amongst diverse people is something special. It's not just special that you respect them and you live amongst people that are different than you, but I think the higher level is when you say, you know what, I can learn from everyone. I'm not so good at learning Torah, so I'm going to ask you for a chavrusa, or I say, you know what, like, I see your davening is so beautiful, can you like tell me, what do you think about when you're davening, because I need that for myself? Or how do you do it? I see these people scream at you all day long and you don't say a word. How do you do it? I can't. So by living in a community, by living amongst the Jewish people, by living in a Tachash community, then you are able to become better, become stronger. You're stronger through diversity. Unity is greater when it's through diversity. That's reflected through the Tachash, the multiple colors of the animal. Why? You walk in, you look up, you see the Tachash, and you're reminded about the beauty and the tapestry of the Jewish people. That is the second. Maybe we should have ended with that one. That one's really beautiful. And we'll conclude with one last approach, which is from the Majlis HaRebbe, Divrei Yisrael. The Majlis HaRebbe, there's a famous story about the Majlis HaRebbe. The Ani Mamin? Not the classic one, but there's another one. If I sang it to you, you wouldn't understand it either way. But there is apparently one of the chazans of the Majlis HaRebbe came up with this tune on the train to one of the camps, this Ani Mamin, that they all started singing together on a train going to one of the death camps in the Holocaust. And the Talmidim said, you have to get off the train. You need to get this song to the Majlis HaRebbe, and you need to spread this song. And they like picked him up and they threw him off the train. His life was saved. For whatever reason, they couldn't do it for everybody. Maybe people would notice. And he went to Eretz Israel and he shared this Majlis HaRebbe, and the Majlis HaRebbe made this Ani Mamin well known. So he has a sefer on Chumash called Divrei Yisrael. And in here, he makes a different suggestion as to what is the importance and significance of
the Tachash. So he asks a very strong question. So Moshe Rabbeinu at the beginning of the parasha says, I need all these things. Right? So I need everybody to give me what you can, your gold, your silver, your copper, your even Avnei Shoham, Avnei Miluim, fancy jewels, what you feel you can give, what your heart wants to give, you need to give. So we said the Tachash was something that was Lesha'ah, that Moshe found in the Midbar, that didn't exist before and didn't exist afterwards. So how can the Torah mean that I want you to donate this to the Mishkan? Who owned them to donate it to the Mishkan? Right? And then the pasuk says, in Vayakel, a similar pasuk, Kol Ish Asher Nimsa Ito, any person that has with him, Tchelas, Argaman, turquoise wool, purple wool, Oros Elim, ram's skin, and Oros Techashim, and skin of Tachash, bring it. What do you mean, Asher Nimsa Ito, that was found with him, or found with her, they should give? No one had it. It's a great question. So he says, what does this mean? Ela be'emes. Yesh lomar, I'm on the top paragraph, in the second column. Af shahayu ha-techashim hefker b'midbar, af al-pichein lo haya kol harotza lito yavo v'yito. Rak mi shehizmin lo ha-kadosh baruch hu hu shenim sa'ito. He makes a very bold suggestion. He says that the tachashes were wandering around, and the only people that were able to get them were individuals that, you know, found them near their tents in the Midbar. And not everybody was Zocha to get one. It wasn't so easy to find a Tachash. And if you happened upon one, you were one of the lucky ones, and you were able to donate it to the Mishkan. So why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do it this way? He says, because Moshe Rabbeinu makes an announcement, and he says, anyone that has gold, silver, bring it. So who has gold and silver? The wealthy individuals. People that, you know, that did well in Mitzrayim. Somehow, you know, finagled with the Makas Choshech and stayed longer by the Yamsuf. They got more. What about the other individuals that weren't as lucky? What did they get?
What did they get when they left? Stuff.
So he's making a bold suggestion that not everyone got the same. Not everyone got the same amount. And who's to say everyone got, you know, gold and silver or abundance that they wanted to give that much? Not everybody. What can that person do? So individuals said, you know what? I'm going to give what I can give. On my level, the way Hashem helped me with my parnasa, that's what I can give. Okay, so it's not like Yenim. It's not like that guy or that guy. Or that. Okay, so I could do what I can do, and I'm going to do my best. So what does that mean? They were happy with what they had. Sas b'gavanim shalom. The Tachash was proud of what he had. He looked differently than all the other. He was proud in what he had. His min lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem brought to the Aniyim's tents these tachashes, these animals, and they were able to donate them. Similar to what the tachash represents, Sameach Bechelko. And he writes that this is the way it is in Parnasa. HaSameach Bechelko, right? That what is this tachash represent? Somebody that is happy with what God gave them. The lot that they give. It's not only about parnasa, but it's true about all different aspects of life. Right? Ezo Ashir, it's like such a simple thing to say. It's very difficult to follow through in our mind and in our heart and through our actions. And the Tachash represented, you know, what do the multicolors represent? That we all have ups and downs in life. Some of the colors of or periods in our life are dark. They're darker colors. They're more difficult. We have ups and downs. Some are bright. Some are very bright and very exciting. You know, and so bright that people could see them even in the darkness. And, you know, when we all go through our own challenges, we all have our own opportunities throughout our lives. And one of the struggles that we all have is when we look at other people, you know, by definition, we live in a community, we live amongst other people, and it's hard to focus on ourselves and what we can do and what God gave us, and to still serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with all of our might and all of our kochos. And he says this is what the tachash really represented. Not everyone was able to give what they maybe what they wanted to, or what the other person was able to give, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mazmin, gave each person on their level, reflecting that we all have ups and downs. We all go through different periods in our lives. I might be up, this guy might be down, and our job is to do the best that we can do with what God gives us. Right? Sometimes it's not only true about parnasa, about personal situations, but also true about what we excel in or what we're really good in. Sometimes we're so hard on ourselves for things that we're just not good in. And we need to sometimes highlight the good, highlight where we are good in, but where we can excel in, and that makes things a little bit easier. But to be proud of what we have and what we've done and what we've worked hard for in our life. And that's the message of the Tachash. So the Jew walks into the Mishkan, they look up, and they say, you know what? I'm happy. Ashreinu matov chokinu. I'm proud for what I've done in my life. I've gone through ups, I've gone through downs, I've had struggles, I've had opportunities, and I'm happy with the lot that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given me in my life.
You can always improve. You can always do better.
Of course, Erwin, we should always be improving. You know, and we shouldn't say I'm confined to what my situation. My situation doesn't define me of who I am. We need to always look beyond that. Yeah. 100%. Yeah.
Rabbi, where did they get the 18 shittim?
I say shittim. Oh, so I'll tell you that in a second. I just want to conclude. So we have three different approaches. So what the Tachash represented. Number one, that a Jew needs to have a little bit of gaiva, a little bit to be, you know, proud of who we are, to stand up for what we do, and in our avodas Hashem. That's number one. Number two, the Tachash has multiple colors, represented the different ways that we all serve God. We all come with our different approaches, our different personality traits. And that was from the Tam V'Das and Rafir. And the third approach from the Divrei Yisrael is that we all have personal ups and downs and struggles in life. And we need to be Sameach Bechelko. We have to try. This is not need to. We have to work. This is a work in progress for all of us, to try to, you know, develop this sense, just like the Tachash had, and just like Hashem was able to give. This person got the Tachash, that person got the gold and silver. We need to be proud of what we have. Wish everyone a Chodesh Tov, a Chodesh of Adar Rishon.